We are in the darkest days of the year. True solstice is on Friday, but there are about 10 days here when we have 9 hours of daylight, give or take a minute. And it takes into January to get just 5 more minutes of sunlight back. So if you're feeling like it's dark, it is. And it takes until the equinox in March to get 3 hours back, and then you can feel the earth begin to grow again. So those are the numbers that describe this darkness and the cold that follows the dark. This shrinking of the day, this closing in of our lives. The part of us that probably comes from plants, the sun-centric, heliophilic, the lover of sun part of us, gets a little panicky this time of year. Our ancient bodies remember that we live by the sun. But it turns out that we can live with less light than plants, and we can keep ourselves warm. So part of us is made for solstice time. Part of us is made to live with darkness, to be in this time and make good use of this too. And after all, we carry the darkness inside of us. Heart valves and bone marrow do their important life-giving work in the dark. We need interior time, rest time, the generative quiet. And so we gather to celebrate the winter solstice, and we celebrate the fact that the light will be coming back, that we will be able to feel the longer days. But we also honor the darkness, honor the gifts and the wisdom of this dark time. And we know, of course, that darkness can also mean pain and sorrow and fear for some. And so darkness is a struggle. And so we gather together so that we can each do the work that we have to do in the dark time. And I hope that if this is a painful time, or if this is a time for rest and resilience, that you can gather from the dark some insight and some wisdom. This morning, our worship is a version of an ancient kind of circle worship. We're not in a circle, but you'll feel lots of circular movement this morning. I call it circle worship. It's called Wiccan. It's called goddess worship, all kinds of names. And you will experience several practices which you can think of anywhere along the line of metaphorical to literal, including those pine boughs that came by you to sweep you off. I hope that you let those fresh pine branches sweep off anything in your mind or heart or body that you needed to just have swept away, put down, at least for this hour. And then we will be passing the light and finding different ways to think of ourselves and see our world. There are several times when we will be doing a little bit of magic, which, as one teacher said, is changing consciousness at will. Anytime we change how we think or understand ourselves or our world is a little bit of magic. So we'll be doing a little bit of magic together this morning. The choir will be singing throughout the service, and you are welcome to join in their singing or join in the listening in the dark. Stephanie Marshall and Jim Breeling will begin the next circle by calling the directions.
I call the east, the rising sun, the bright light leaping up into the air of a new day, a new beginning. I call the powers of the east, the element of air, the winds of change, the powers of speech, the poets and the philosophers. Welcome, air.
I call the south, the element of fire, hearth fire, candle flame, fire of lifeblood and tree sap. I call the fires of creativity and healing. Welcome, fire.
I call the west, the oceans and the rain, the element of water. Water that carries life and has depths and powers that often surprise, just like the feelings that water represents. Love, grief, and courage. Welcome, water.
I call the north, the element of earth, farmland and granite, and the hidden places of the earth, the caves and the root cellars that hide treasures. This is the time of earth, quiet and steady, holding all life. Welcome, earth.
I call the center, the spirit, the wheel, the center of the wheel turning and standing still. Welcome, spirit.
The circle is cast. We are between the worlds, beyond the boundaries of time, where night and day, birth and death, joy and sorrow meet as one.
We slip out of the darkness for a moment so that we can see the words. For the earth forever turning, 163. This short reading is another little excerpt from Braiding Sweetgrass. The woman, Robin Wall Kimmerer, who wrote Braiding Sweetgrass, teaches students about ecology, but about how to be in relationship with the earth. And she started to ask her students a series of questions so that she could understand their thinking, their consciousness. And she asked them a series of questions about how human beings had harmed the earth and what we did to the earth that wasn't good. And her students were very clear about that. And then she asked them what they knew about the relationship between humans and the earth that was beneficial, what was good in that relationship. And her students almost always said, well, nothing. And she was so heartbroken to learn that her students, almost all of them, thought that there wasn't anything good in their relationship with the earth. And that was one of the moments when she decided she needed to change how she taught, that she needed to rebuild her students' relationship to the earth so that they could begin to have the idea in their minds that there was something beneficial for the earth and, of course, for them in a relationship with the earth, that they could understand themselves not to just be a problem in their own home, so that they could begin to think of this place where we live as their home that welcomes them and is delighted by them and is always looking for ways to make things more wonderful together. So one of the things she started to do was teach the creation story from her Potawatomi tradition about Sky Woman. And that story is this wonderful long story about how everything on the earth came into being. And we won't tell the whole story this morning. But the basic story is that Sky Woman fell from the sky and landed on a turtle. And from there began to create this wonderful garden with everything that's in it growing, from grasses to wild strawberries. Those little tiny, have you picked wild strawberries? They're so small and just miraculous. And it's a story of human beings arriving on Earth and together with the Earth creating this bountiful garden and living together. And she thought maybe that story would help her students, maybe help all of us begin to imagine that we belong to the Earth and that the Earth is delighted to have us here living in this beautiful garden home. And so I would like to invite you in this time of quiet, this inward time, to imagine, to remember a place on this earth, in this bountiful garden that we get to live in. Imagine a place where you feel at home, where you feel like you just belong there, like it's good that you're there, that maybe little corner of the earth, maybe it's a broad expanse, somewhere that you go that you really feel like you belong. Your feet on the ground, your head in the air, all is right. It may be someplace you live now. I hope it is. But it might not be. It might be a place from childhood. And we'll take just a minute or two for you to be in that place in your imagination, for you to settle into that memory with as much detail as you can muster and settle into that feeling of being a place where you belong. The earth is so glad that you, in particular, are here with your particular gifts. This morning, while we are gathering up our offering, I will invite you to light candles in our usual four places, and I'll add one more in the center here. You are welcome to light candles for anything that you need a little light for this morning. And I invite you to include in your thinking as you light that candle this place that you've imagined, this home, this place where you know you are with the earth. Our offering is a way of saying we all belong to this place, and also that this place claims us, that we are wanted here, exchanging gifts of all kinds, whether it be money in a basket or candles in a bowl or food around a coffee hour table. All of those gifts are ways that we claim each other back and forth, and make a world of belonging that is sometimes so subtle we miss it, except when it's quiet and dark, and then maybe we can notice a little more how we're woven in to all of life. There are candles up front for lighting. The morning offering for this congregation will now be received. As we settle back down, I have one more question about that reflection or that meditation on the place on the earth where you feel you belong. What would your life be like if you walked around with that feeling all the time? If you knew that the earth was so pleased that you were here, that you were part of this creation, that you were tending the garden, that the earth was not thinking all the time about the harm. And we are so aware of that. But what would your life be like if you were thinking, feeling in your bones, feeling that the earth was pleased that you are here? How would you be in your body differently? How would you walk differently? Would you make different choices? What would it be like to live as part of the beauty? Many years ago now, I took an introduction to Western philosophy class, freshman year in college. What I remember from that class is the professor. It's often the teacher that really stays with me. And he taught us a lot of philosophy, but he was also a man with cancer who knew that this might be the last semester that he taught. And he told us that. And I remember the morning toward the end of the semester, it was probably in December, when he came in the morning and he was tired. And he came in and he told us what he had seen on his walk-in, which is that the sun was low on the horizon, and on either side of the sun, there were these rainbows in the sky, up in the thin clouds. Have you seen these rainbows that catch, especially when the sun is low? Sun dogs. Well, he talked about seeing those that morning, and he said, "Sun dog, now there's a true friend." And that is the philosophy that I remember best from that freshman year class. That he looked at that sky, at that sunlight, at that rainbow up in the sky, and thought, that is something true, something dependable and loyal, something that recognizes me. Can't call something a true friend if it doesn't know you in some way. And he seemed to feel like he knew that passing rainbow in the sky. There was something that he looked for all the time and knew would make his life more whole, make his life worth living. So whenever I see a sun dog, I think about Mr. Worley. I think about what it means to have even that moment. Because sun dogs don't usually last very long. The sun moves, the sky moves, the air moves, and the sun dog has run off. But they can still be a true friend, carry you through dark days. And so I would like us to pass around a little bit of light. The light that we're passing around is the light that you tend and hold inside of you. It is that story, that place of belonging, that place where you have a true friend with the earth or the sky, the sun, the rainbows. Wherever there is a place where you have that true sustaining connection, that's the light that fuels your whole life. And of course, we have a great variety of these, variety of ways of belonging and participating and understanding ourselves. So we're going to pass the light around. Let our consciousness shift a little bit and see these lights as the light that each of us carries inside of us, the light of love and belonging that can open up our lives, even in the darkest times. Some of our children will come up and help with this. Let's see if we can get it started here. I think there might still be some light rolling around the room. That's good. In fact, I think we might keep this one moving. Don't want to keep it standing still. I'd like to read to you this poem. This is by Frank O'Hara, a true account of talking to the sun on Fire Island. I think all you need to know, really, is that Fire Island is an island out far away from the city. And that, as the poet, as the sun says, the poet is usually in the city. The sun woke me up loud and clear this morning, saying, "Hey, I've been trying to wake you up for 15 minutes. Don't be so rude. This is only the second time I have chosen to speak to a poet personally. Why aren't you more attentive? If I could burn you through that window, I would. I can't hang around here all day. Sorry, son, I stayed up late last night talking to Hal." You put in the name of any friend of yours right there. "When I woke up, Mayakovsky, he was a lot more prompt," the son said petulantly. "Most people are already waiting to see if I'm going to put in an appearance." I tried to apologize. "I missed you yesterday, son." "That's better," said the son. I didn't know you'd come out. You may be wondering why I have come so close." "Yes," I said, beginning to feel hot and wondering if maybe he wasn't burning me anyway. "Frankly, I wanted to tell you I like your poetry. I see a lot in my rounds, and you're okay. You're not the greatest thing on earth, but you're different. I've heard some say you're a little crazy, they being excessively calm of mind themselves. And other folks, well, they think you're boring, but not me. Just keep on like I do and pay no attention. You'll find that people will always complain about the atmosphere, either too hot or too cold, too bright, too dark, days are too short or too long. If I don't appear at all one day, they think you're lazy or dead. Just keep right on. I like what you're doing. And don't worry about your lineage, poetic or natural. The sun shines on the jungle, you know, and on the tundra and the sea, on the ghetto. Wherever you were, I knew it, and I saw you moving. I was waiting for you to get to your work. And now that you are making your own days, so to speak, even if no one reads you but me, don't be depressed. Not everyone can look up, even at me. It hurts their eyes. Oh, son, I'm so grateful to you. Thanks. Remember, I'm watching. It's easier for me to speak to you when I'm out here, when you're out here. I don't have to slide down between the buildings to get to your ear. I know you love Manhattan, but you ought to look up more often. Always embrace things, people, earth, sky, stars, as I do, freely and with the appropriate sense of space. That is your inclination, known in the heavens, and you should follow it to, well, as far as you need to follow it. Maybe we'll speak again in Africa, of which I, too, am especially fond. Now go back to sleep, Frank. I might leave a tiny poem in that brain of yours as my farewell. Son, don't go. I was awake at last. No, I must. They're calling me. Who are they? Rising, he said, someday you'll know. They're calling you too. The sun is hiding a bit today, but still we get that light coming in, sneaking down between the buildings to touch us. We open our curtains and open our hearts to let the light come in. It is a quiet time of year, and it is a joyful time of year. Sometimes that rest in the dark is just what's needed for the joy of this life on earth to bubble up into our lives. And so we're going to pass around a little bit of joy, a little bit of sunshine in a skin. Can I pass you one and then pass it along? And I wonder if some of our light bearers, our children who passed around the light, would come up again and help pass out a little bit of joy. Can you smell it, that smell of sunshine stored in skin? That simple joy, and I think if that smell, like the smell of mint or roses, I think that is one of the signs that the earth loves that we are here. Full baskets, empty baskets, full baskets. May your season be one of exchanging beauty. Stephanie and Jim are going to wend their way through the singers here and release the directions.
We release the center, the timeless moment, the now that is always disappearing, the world that crumbles into something new. Thank you, center.
We release you, north, the home that holds us, the steady truth of who we are. Thank you for holding life within you in these dark days. Thank you, earth.
We release you, west, waters of the world, underground rivers and frozen ponds and snowstorms riding out of the west, the changing tides of our hearts and minds. Thank you, water.
We release you, south, fire and warmth. Thank you for bringing back the light and warmth to our world, both the sun and the commitments and passions of our lives. Thank you, south.
We release you, east, sunrise and moonrise, breeze off the ocean, lifting kites into the sky. Thank you for your fresh air and fresh thinking. Thank you, east.
And we are all the circle. As we open the circle, I will say the words and invite you for a second time to follow along and repeat them. The circle is open but unbroken. Merry meet and merry part and merry meet again. The circle is open but unbroken. Merry meet and merry part and merry meet again. Blessed be.
Please remain standing and join in our unison benediction. The words are printed in your order of service. Go in peace.
Be true.